Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Reptile Radio fans. The undisputed best dang Blog Talk Radio fans in the entire blogosphere universe. You guys and gals are the reason I continue to carry this torch for Larry and BT, and it's truly humbling to feel the energy of this amazing community supporting this effort. I really do appreciate all of your love throughout the years. And if it was conceivably possible, even more so now that you guys really came together to make the Double R 2014's Herp Show of the Year as determined by your votes on the Reptile Report's Best of 2014 Reader's Choice Awards competition. So I just want to use our award-winning platform to humbly thank you all on behalf of the staff here at Reptile Radio for putting in the effort to really help our show get recognized. It's both my joy and privilege to serve our awesome community, and you guys and gals totally rock. It's Wednesday the 25th, 2015, and it's only appropriate that today's guest is none other than Robin Markland, one of the principal forces at the Reptile Report. So let's get the man with the plan up on the award-winning stage. He's the Robin in the Chad and Robin Show, my friend and yours, community supporter extraordinaire, Robin Markland. Hey, Robin.
Hey, CK, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure having you on. I love having you on. You've been on a bunch of times now, haven't you?
I have, but it's been a little while. Maybe in 2014, I think I was on a show, but yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's always a
pleasure
having you.
How's things in the Reptile Radio world?
Hey, you know, we are very, very, very excited to have this award, man. You know what? It feels really cool because, like, you know, Larry and BT ran this show for so long, and I mean, I realized these awards weren't in place, you know, way back in the day, and clearly, I mean,
that's true.
In my heart, they would have won it every year. Those guys were phenomenal, and man, when they kind of like bailed on it, and you know, I basically took the torch from Larry. Was like, come on, man, I want somebody to do the show. Can you help me do the show? And I was like, absolutely, because I just did not want to see this die. And, bro, it feels so good inside after dealing with all my BS through Hurricane Sandy and all this other crazy crap going on in my life that we finally brought this award home to where, in my heart, this award belongs with the Reptile Radio fans, man. So I'm stoked to have this under our belt. What a great, great, great bunch of people listen to our program. I get so many really cool, like, emails and texts and, you know, PMs on the boards and all kinds of stuff, man. And people love the show. And it's a show for the people, man. So I'm really stoked
that's awesome.
That award. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Bush League community, the Bush League community has always been super strong and very friendly and welcoming to us. I mean, you know, we participated in the forum and stuff for years and years. And now that you mention it, I mean, the Reptile Radio, there's a bunch of radio shows out now. There's a ton of shows. But Reptile Radio really was a pioneer years and years ago, doing a serialized, you know, episodic, regular show with interesting guests and interesting content. You know, Larry and BT doing their thing. I was on with those guys back in the day as well. So it has been around for a while, and I'm glad to see it's still doing strong. And of course, the Bush League audience is always going to support it, and that's awesome. I don't know if you remember, but you did win for Radio Show of the Year 2014 for Reader's Choice. But you also won for Best of 2012.
We did.
In the day.
And, you know, unfortunately, my house was in this Hurricane Sandy mess. So, like, I wasn't even online for, like, the beginning of the 2013 year.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know we won.
Yeah, back then we recognized Bush League. Back then we didn't have the Reader's Choice, and back then we only had like 12 categories, but we did want to still recognize Bush League for being so awesome. So this is the first Reader's Choice that you've taken, so that's awesome, and congratulations. And you know, I'm not going to reveal exact details, but you guys really did smoke it. I mean, your turnout was unbelievable, really, really outstanding. So the whole community should be excited and stoked about it.
Yeah, man, that's really cool to hear. Because, you know, I mean, some of the guys had a thread going on there, and I came on there once and said, you know what, I'm not going to sit here, because I kind of, like, feel responsible that the show's still going on, because it's really only me. You know, when I say the staff at Reptile Radio, well, yeah, that's me. But,
right.
You know, it's so cool to to, like, you know, to feel this really, really warm feeling from everybody, like, you know, supporting this, and, you know, I really get such really great feedback. And I went on there once to say that I wasn't going to sit there spouting to vote, because, like, last year, you know, last year was a little bit of a crazy a crazy contest with you guys, you know, and because of the way it was set up, and it was such a, like, I was kind of like the proponent pushing it every day. Come on, guys, vote. Come on, guys, vote. Come on, guys, vote. And I didn't want to do that for myself. You know, I felt like I was doing it for myself, even though I'm doing it for RR, you know. But I feel like I kind of, like, I am RR right now, you know. So I didn't want to do that because I just felt really cheesy. And the guys picked up the ball and ran with it. I thanked everybody for voting all the time, you know, which was the least I could do. But I didn't want to be pushing my own stuff. I don't like that feeling, you know, of, like, it feels cheesy to me, you know. So I was really happy. And when you said we smoked it, man, that really makes me feel great.
Yeah, absolutely. Great turnout. You know, I mean, I've monitored the threads on Bush League of people encouraging to vote and stuff, and I kept seeing it being bumped up and people responding and, you know, hey, I voted today. And again, it did the same thing for me. It gave me a great feeling, because I love to see people participating, and I love to see great folks getting recognition. I mean, that's what it's really all about, is to recognize and shine a light on people working hard. You know, we all love reptiles. We're all into reptiles. And some of us keep it animals just for the pure pleasure, but so many in our community keep animals for commercial purpose, or you're breeding and selling, you're participating in online communities and stuff. So there's so much hard work being done. People are busting their butts out there, working hard to raise great animals, to breed great animals. And I think it's important to recognize that. And that's what, you know, we try and do with the Best of Awards.
Yeah. And, you know, exactly how many categories did you have this year, Robin?
You know, I don't know exactly. There's like 53 categories for Editor's Choice and Reader's Choice. So we just got done with Reader's Choice. And then for most every category, there's also an Editor's Choice. So that will be coming up as well. We announced Editor's Choice winners on Monday, actually.
That's really cool, man. I'm going to be stoked to watch that, because, you know, we got so many, like, a lot of the people on the Bush League boards, you know, were in some of these categories, and it was really nice pouring of support for everybody, not just the radio show and not just the forum, you know, all the other kind of proponents of the boards out there who the guys really like working the streets, you know, banging the pavement every day, doing their job, you know, like my buddy Brandon Fowler who runs Roaming Reptiles out in California, man. I mean, that's a guy that he's putting these critters in front of little kids. He's putting them in front of, you know, people who have disabilities, you know, people who wouldn't have easy access to this kind of stuff. He does library shows, he does festivals, he does all this stuff, and this guy is making the reptiles shine in people's eyes, you know. So I'm Brandon's a good guy. I love that guy, man. He's
a great
solid
guy.
Yeah.
And he, Brandon was Reader's Choice for Personality of the Year.
Yeah,
and
well deserved.
Specifically related to roaming reptiles. In fact, we tend to post people as they're nominated, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so Brandon Fowler was the one that was nominated and renominated and again. So we put him up as Brandon Fowler, and I did mention in the thing, you know, Brandon from Roaming Reptiles. But he sent me a message the other day, and he was like, hey, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you would, you know, more link it as Roaming Reptiles, because that's my focus and that's what I want people to think about. And I was, you know, I got in there immediately and updated it from Brandon's name to Roaming Reptiles. So Brandon wants his effort and work to be the highlight. He doesn't want Brandon to be the highlight. He wants Roaming Reptiles and the effort that he's doing with that to be the highlight and what people think about and what people look up and look into. You know, he's not looking for gloss and sunshine on Brandon, you know, myself. He's looking for to be recognized for the Roaming Reptiles work. And, you know, absolutely. I think that's awesome. And I was stoked that he won. And again, he's another guy that got a really strong turnout. So people are recognizing the work and the educational aspect that he's doing. So, you know, fantastic. Good for him. I was super happy that Brandon won.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of the categories really shine the light on people. You know, now Brandon's, you know, he's kind of like in the spotlight a little bit because he's been at this for a while. But it also, it to me, it pulled out people that really I didn't hear about before, you know, and I mean, I kind of try to keep my finger on the pulse of things going on, you know, and man, I thought that this year was really special in that regard, you know?
Yeah, well, that, you know what, it happens every year. There's folks that are nominated and end up doing really well in Reader's Choice, and I would say, I mean, I try and be plugged in as best I can into the reptile world, and I think I do a pretty good job. But
yeah.
I bet you half of the Reader's Choice winners I was not even one bit familiar with before the award cycle.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of small breeders, small companies. JPM Caging won the Cage Manufacturer Reader's Choice Award. And
yeah,
I
never even heard of them.
I was not familiar with them.
Me
yeah,
either.
But you know, it's a company out there, small company, going around doing shows, putting together what looks like to be an awesome cage, you know, mm-hmm. and the setup. And I saw pictures of the shows they do. They have a really great looking professional setup. The product looks great, but it just wasn't on my radar before. But now it is, and you know, they had an opportunity to get their company and their product in front of literally hundreds of thousands of new eyeballs, and they took advantage and they did fantastic. So good for them. But, you know, there's also small breeders. A lot of the gecko breeders I'm not familiar with. A lot of the colubrid breeders I'm not familiar with. Some of the boa breeder, the winner was Da Vinci Boas. Also
yeah.
not on my radar.
Me neither.
You know, we bred boas, boy, back in the 90s, so it's been a little while. But I dig boas, but I'm not super plugged into the latest and greatest boa morphs and localities and things. But I looked at some of the Da Vinci pictures and animals they're working with. Unbelievable. Like,
yes.
Just beyond, I mean, they're much better looking than any boas we ever worked with back in our day. You know, the
sure.
boas have come so far, but I mean, the stuff that these guys are producing, it's fantastic. And so, you know, now that the during the best of cycle, I start seeing Da Vinci boas because they're on my radar because they're nominated and doing very well in voting. And I've shared, you know, a dozen of their animal pictures at the Reptile Report, and it's gotten tremendous response. Because the animals are spectacular. So it's another smaller breeder that doesn't have exposure to a super wide audience. And through the best of, now they've been seen by tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of new eyeballs. Fantastic. I couldn't be any happier for the guys. Because, like I said, I know everybody that's in the reptile industry is busting their ass to do a great job, make some great animals. And so it's awesome to see them get some, you know, recognition and appreciation. That's
no.
You know, I can't fault that not one bit.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And honestly, I think that's probably like a byproduct. It's not the original intention of this whole thing, but it's a strong byproduct of it. And it's almost to me now I'm going to be looking for that next year. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, originally when you start, when you say, you know, I'm going to do a Reader's Choice, and it'll be by voting. I assumed that. You know, the Python breeder was going to be Nerd every year.
Right.
Or it's going to be BHB, or it's going to be Bob Clark, or somebody that, some really well-known, nationally known, or, you know, worldwide known breeder. And
yeah.
It's simply not.
Yeah.
It's simply
pretty
not.
Cool.
I mean, Nerd does okay in the voting, but,
yeah.
You know, there's absolutely opportunity for other breeders, small breeders, if they just get out there and make some effort and let folks know, hey, you know, we're up and we've been nominated, their fan base and their customer base comes out and they can really make a difference. All of a sudden, you know, Da Vinci Boas is the Reader's Choice Boa Breeder of the Year over Jeremy Stone and
Jeff Ronnie.
I'm trying to think of all the Boa Breeders. Jeff Ronnie, yeah, the Boa File.
Yeah.
Rich Eiley or Mike at Basically Boas. I mean, those guys are doing amazing work. But the Da Vinci Boas had an awesome showing, and they have just as much access to you know, to promo and market their animals and the great stuff to this huge audience. So, you know, good for them. And there's believe me, you should look at the Boa nominees. There's a bunch of really fantastic breeders there doing some really unbelievable stuff. Chase Baker at Texas Boa Exotics has amazing animals. Like I said, the Da Vinci guys are just doing some phenomenal stuff. Very, very exciting stuff happening in the Boa world, and it's all on my radar because of the best of. So I think it's great that for Reader's Choice, everybody has a shot at it, and it's not going to be dominated by, you know, a half a dozen big giant breeders every time. I think that's even
yeah.
better.
Yeah, I think so too. Because look, those guys will always get their play. They're always going to have the volume and the presence, you know. But
right.
for the little guy and the thing about this entire industry is, man, you know, how many guys do you see where one animal, one anomaly changes the whole trajectory of their business? You know, it happens all the time. You know, so. Man, that's really, it's cool to see, and you just put this phenomenal platform out there to expose that stuff. And man, I think anytime anybody exposes something to the public like that, you know, it's not indecent exposure to me, man. It's cool. So
there's enough negative stuff out there. You know, we need plenty of positive stuff promotion and positive aspects to get behind. So I mean, yeah, like I said, it's easy to support positive stuff. You know who I was excited about this year, CK, is the Python breeder. Like I said, it wasn't Nerd.
Right.
It wasn't the Barkers. It wasn't some, you know, Ozzie Boyd has been the Python breeder in the past. He's not a giant guy, but he's certainly well known and does some phenomenal stuff. But the Python breeder, the Reader's Choice Python breeder, let me pull it up here. Fred Averbeck out of Germany.
Yeah.
He bred Bohlen's pythons. 2 years in a row, he's bred the Bohlen's python, and that's all he has is just Bohlen's, just a handful of Bohlen's. But he's done something 2 years in a row that nobody else on the planet has been able to figure out.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more excited for that. And he was a runaway winner on the Reader's Choice.
Wow.
I mean, he got a ton of votes because people are stoked about you know, something as monumental as repetitive Bohlen's breeding. I mean, we tried for 15-plus years and just couldn't crack the code. And he's, whatever he's doing, which I'd love to chat him up about, whatever he's doing, he's got success 2 years in a row, and he's looking good for his third year. So, again, super ecstatic for a very small breeder on the other side of the planet to be able to get that kind of recognition and appreciation. And, you know, when he found out he won, I mean, he was over the moon. He was so humbled and appreciative, and, you know, he was just like, man, I can't believe that's phenomenal that I would win against. I mean, he's running against prehistoric pets. Rennick Reptiles did really good. Nerd, you know, a bunch of great python breeders. But the appreciation of working with the Bohlen's, which is just my number one snake species overall for me, but just a really difficult breeding animal. He's had success, and the least we could do is recognize that and give him a trophy for it. I'm happy to do that for sure.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I know that that's a personal thing for you because you guys worked with Bohlen. And the weird thing is, like, you guys had the resources. You guys had the space. You guys had every kind of piece of any information that was already available you had access to. You had people, stuff, and ability.
Yep.
And this guy is a little dude in a big fish bowl, and he stands there and watches his animals, man. You know, and that's how he did it.
You know what? That touches on something because when I talked to Chad about it, I mean, we desperately wanted to be successful breeding Bohlen's, just a phenomenal, phenomenal species. But it was never the focus. We bred ball pythons, we bred boas, we bred bloods, we bred a lot of lizards, you know, monitor lizards and stuff.
Sure.
And the Bohlen's were a side project over in a corner of the facility. And we gave them lots of cage space. And, you know, I had staff that was assigned to the Bohlen's, but they were never a main focus. And I always told Chad, I bet we could be successful if that's all we did. If you could just focus on just those. And, you know, we had 5 or 6 animals, you know, as a group, as adults. I said, man, I would love to just be able to think about Bohlen's for 40 hours a week. Like, just focus on that species instead of also doing bloods and ackies and water monitors and ball pythons and everything else. If you could just focus, I bet you could figure it out. And that's really how I think Fred did it. He's not worried about ball pythons and ackies and lizards and geckos and everything else. He's just, like you said, he's sitting there staring at Bohlen's all day, every day. And he's probably much more in tune with the animals. And, you know, there's some secret to making them breed or being successful. We got them to breed, no problem. Getting eggs that, you know, out of them was the big issue. But, man, he's got it figured out, and I wish him, you know, more and more success. But, boy, I do wish I had a chance to you know, just look at one species for, 100% of my time, I think that would be a fascinating way to approach a breeding group.
Yeah, I tell people that, you know, because look, I've actually done shows on the Noah's Ark syndrome, you know, and it's a really cool thing because you get to see all these different species and you get to experience all these different things. But you know, you really never focus when you're like that because the care requirements and everything is so different, and you're all over the place, you know. But I guarantee that dude has spent hours staring at the animals, figuring out where the girls are going when they're ovulating, figuring out where they're doing with their thermoregulating, and just sitting there watching and learning and putting it into play. And God bless him, man. He did a great job with that. That's, like you said, the only person in the world. I mean, there are institutions that haven't done this, you know? Amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah,
what else you
awesome.
Got, man? Anything else really float your boat?
You know, there's a bunch of really cool categories. Python breeder I was really excited about. You know what's really pretty popular is the field herping side. We had a field herp image category, which had some ridiculous shots that look absolutely studio-type shots, but these are actually shots from out in the field, you know, people happening on the animals and you know, actively looking and capturing some amazing stuff. And then we also have just a field herper category as well. This year, the Reader's Choice Field Herper was won by Derek Dunlop, who, if you follow his Facebook page, he's all around the world this year. I mean, he used to be a huge gecko breeder, doing some really amazing gecko species specifically. He seems to be more of a four-legged guy because he was doing some monitors and different stuff. But geckos were his thing, and I believe that he sold mostly everything he had. And for like the past year, I mean, he's posting from South America and from Asia and from all over the country, all these amazing shots. He's just out there. I mean, he's living the life of like a 16-year-old herp fanatic that just says, where are all the dream spots I want to go to? And that's everywhere Derek's been. So, I mean, he's all over the planet looking for reptiles, posting some amazing photos. And, he won Field Herper of the Year. So I was excited about that because it's really high-quality stuff that he's doing. Artist is a particular favorite category of mine. There's a lot of cool art folks doing reptile, you know, themed art in our world, whether it's computer art, whether it's actual painting, whether it's sculpting. There's all kinds of different ways to do art, obviously.
Sure.
But, the folks that are represented there, I'm huge fans of a lot of them. Natalie Beto got honorable mention for Reader's Choice Artist. She always does cool drawings and paintings and graphics that everybody seems to really enjoy when we share. The winner of Artist of the Year is a guy named Jay Manchant, and he does watercolor painting. Now, I'm not a painting expert, so I'm assuming most of it's all watercolor. If I got the medium wrong, then, you know, I'm just an art moron. But whatever it is, the paintings are amazing. The stuff he's doing is amazing. I love to see it. We share it at the Reptile Report all the time. It gets a really big welcome there. I mean, people love to see the images and stuff. And he actually did some video clips, like on Fast Forward, of, you know, starting from a blank canvas to producing the full image, you know, showing him painting. And it was amazing to see the process. I have no idea what he's doing. I have no idea how you are able to, like, stay in scale and proportion. I mean, my painting would look like, a second grader. So the talent and level of skill that is shown, especially when you're watching somebody actually do the painting, is beyond. So I was super happy that Jay won artist. I think he's super deserving on that. You mentioned Brandon Fowler, Roaming Reptiles for Personality. I'd written that one down as a highlight. Reptile Show is always a tough category because there's so many good shows. Tinley Park is the winner
so
there.
Hard. I can't even see somebody supplanting
Tinley.
Yeah, you know.
Well, how many West Coast shows do you go to, though?
Well, I don't. But you know what? I mean, Tinley.
See?
It's the whole atmosphere at Tinley that it'd be really hard to replace that, you know, or to transplant that, you know. I mean, I know NARBC tried doing Philly. I mean, and Philly is a freaking mecca for, you know, I mean, Pennsylvania is a mecca for, yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't work out.
Didn't work out. So that, I think there's something about the location. It's kind of a little more central in the U.S. maybe, but at the end of the day, if you're taking a flight, that part doesn't change too much, you know. But, I mean, I drive there, so for me, 13 hours is kind of a hairy ride anyway. But you know,
that's a long drive.
It's something about Tinley, man. It's just something about
Tinley
it.
Tinley is special.
It is.
I think it's the primary industry show of the year. That's where, you know, at this point, everybody tries to make it to Tinley. And deservedly so. It's a great show. You know, Brian Potter and Bob Ashley, they put on a fantastic show. They're great promoters. But there are other great shows, no question.
Sure.
But in a different style. Like I said, for the biggest industry-style show, Tinley's the spot, no question. And Tinley Fall. You know, there's actually a Tinley Spring show coming up, and it'll be a great show. We'll have a great time. Chad and I are going to go out, and, you know, we're looking forward to see everybody there. But there's fewer vendors. You know, it's in the winter. It's going to be, you know, probably cold and rainy and snowy and windy.
Yeah.
But the Tinley Fall show, that's the big event of the year. But, you know, I'm a big fan of the Reptile Super Show as well. I think Rami, it's in California. They do a Pomona show and a San Diego show. The Pomona show is phenomenal. It's a great show. It's a different feel than Tinley is, but it doesn't make it any less of a great show. It's probably it's physically the largest show of the year. They may get the biggest gate of the year. It's hard to say. I mean, you know, no promoters are going to give you accurate gate numbers. That's kind of, you know, treasured private information. But they get a huge turnout. It's a different kind of a crowd than Tinley. Again, because Tinley is, you know, kind of industry-type crowd. There's a lot of families and folks that turn up at the Pomona show. But it's always a great show. Rami does a fantastic job of promoting. And then the other one that's always on my list, and I'm going to have to go this year, is the Sacramento show.
Okay.
It's not the largest or the biggest, but, man, I hear nothing but amazing things about that show. And
okay.
I know vendors that go to all of these shows. They do all of these big shows. And they say, you know, shoot, I do more sales in Sacramento than every other show. And I
really?
Think, well, that's amazing. I mean, yeah, I mean, because it's not this big. They say the gate is unbelievable, great turnout. But they say, yeah, I sell more product and more animals there than anywhere else. I'm never going to miss that show because it's so friggin' strong. So I've not been able to get it on my schedule. Yeah, I've not been able to get it on my schedule the past few years, but I'm definitely going to try and make it this fall. The promoter there, his name is Jeremy. He also does a great job. He's very enthusiastic. You know, all these guys, they have to bust their butts to do a great show. So
sure.
The Sacramento show, I think, is also a strong contender for, you know, great show of the year. I don't have any problem with Tinley winning. You know, again, I think that Brian Bob, Sherry Ashley, I think they all do a fantastic job. And I love being out there and, you know, hanging out with those guys. And, of course, it's a tremendous crowd. All the East Coast guys show up. And, you know, we kind of reconnect. The whole community, you know, out there reconnects every year at the Tinley shows. That's where you, you know, get to see people face-to-face again. So, you know, it's not the only great show of the year, though. There's other fantastic shows. There's a show next weekend, first of its kind, in Atlanta. There's a new reptile show down there that's coming up next weekend on the 28th or something. That could be interesting. I mean, I'd be interested in seeing a strong Atlanta show.
Atlanta's such
interesting
a great
area.
Town, yep.
I've never been to Atlanta. I've heard great things. Yeah. You know,
I'd
like to go down and meet all the Atlanta housewives. You know, that sounds interesting.
You'd like to get out of Colorado for a couple of days in the wintertime. That's what you'd like to do.
I certainly would. It's freezing snow right here. I mean, I know that most of the country is covered in snow right now, but that doesn't mean I'm not any less cold. It's freezing cold out here. Slick roads the whole shebang.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? Speaking of, like, categories and stuff that I don't normally think about, okay, because they're kind of not pets, you know, but this crocodilian category completely, completely blew me away, all right? And these, you know, you got some great pictures, and Keely Johnson won that category, and it's, you know, it's a cool shot, but, you know, I've taken a couple of those shots myself out in the glades. If you can get to the glades, you can get that shot, you know? But there are some shots in here that, oh, my God, this kid I call him a kid because he looks like he's half my age, but he's a grown man. Christopher Gillette. Oh, my God, bro. This guy's pissed.
Talented, right?
Oh, forget. You know, the talent is there, okay? But there's something about this guy's shots where, like, in your head, you're thinking, this guy's got nuggets the size of grapefruits, okay? And they're made of D32 steel because he just gets in the shots that are just crazy amazing, and he's fearless. He's completely 100% fearless, and he just gives you this really cool feeling like, man, these things are just like giant ball pythons, you know, and which is a little dangerous. You shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what?
He has underwater shots that look visually within 6 inches of the snout of a croc. I don't know anything about crocs and alligators. I mean, they're cool, but I don't know anything about care or behavior or anything. It looks dangerous as hell to me. Like, it looks like you're never going to catch me that close. So be able to see a picture that I know what shots you're talking about. And I encourage the listeners to go to the Reptile Report, go to the best of, pull up Croc Image of the Year category. I mean, every single one of the shots is an amazing shot. And Chris, does have, I don't know, 5 or 6 shots up for consideration because he just had some phenomenal stuff this year. And there's other, you know, like I said, Keeley's shot is very solid, and hers is in there. Matty Lem took a really cool croc shot. He got honorable mention for Reader's Choice voting.
Like a Gary Lynn.
There's eye shots. But, yeah, I mean, Chris's shots are they're absolutely ridiculous. I love quite a few of them. And, you know, there's certainly going to be strong consideration for Editor's Choice pick, you know, coming up Monday. Because I was just, like, blown away as I'm going through the nominees. I'm like, Chris shot. I was like, oh, crap. How are people going to be able to choose from any of these? They're all friggin' amazing. So
they really are.
I was surprised, too.
You know, when you click on one of his shots and it takes you to his like Facebook page, I guess when he clicked the full page shot, man, scoot through some of those Facebook shots. Now, he's not taking the picture because he's in a bunch of them, but he's literally nose to nose with wild crocodilians in South America, like stuff that's in the field that there's no way these are trained animals, you know, considered
right.
You know, humanized anyway. He's with them in the field, and he's incredibly fearless and confident, you know, and that really struck me as amazing. But, stuff like that's what, like one of the things that I really appreciate your competition for, because I never would have known about that guy, man.
Yeah, the exposure to other aspects of the hobby is a great benefit. Yeah, absolutely. You see some of the great gecko shots. Or like I said, the boa shots or the boa images are really cool. I mean, you know, we have some great ball python images. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrific. But I've seen lots of great ball python shots. I'm fascinated by the invert shots, you know, the different spider pictures and the crocodile images. And, you know, some of the gecko images. A Fantasticus gecko was the Reader's Choice image. And amazing species. It's just, I don't get enough exposure to that kind of stuff otherwise. So, yeah, it's an amazing way to kind of round out your reptile, amphibian, and invert life by getting exposed to some of these folks that aren't normally on your radar. I love that aspect for sure.
Oh, without a doubt, man. Now, you know, we should talk about the kids because you had a bunch of kids in the Young Herper of the Year. You want to talk about that category?
Yeah, this is another one of my favorite categories. You know, I mean, who can't be stoked about young folks coming up and being stoked and excited about reptiles? I mean, that's the future of the hobby. So, yeah, that's a great category to do. We had 10 terrific nominees. The winner of Young Herper of the Year was a young guy named Blake Berg. He's just a kid, like literally a kid. I think he's maybe 6 or 7 years old. But couldn't be more excited about working and learning about reptiles. And that's exactly the kind of future young herper that we want to promote and support. You know, the folks coming up. I mean, when he's our age, which is middle age now, really, he's going to be able to say, I've spent my whole life fascinated by reptiles. And that's going to be awesome. That, you know, to see guys start out this young, Blake starting out this young, Jeff Lem's kid, Matthew.
Matt Lem.
He's it's under Matty Lem. He's been into reptiles his whole life. So, yeah, I mean, he was our young herper last year. And he's always doing, you know, great reptile stuff. He's actually got a couple of the photos up for image categories because he's doing some amazing photos too. And he's, you know, he's still just a kid. So, you know, shoot, he's living the reptile life out there. And I think, you know, I think that's awesome. So the ability to, you know, again, to give those kids some exposure is a great feeling to be able to do that. And that, my friend, segues into something I did want to mention.
Okay.
There is a Young Herper contest for this year's IHS symposium in May.
Okay.
IHS,
International Herp
Society. International Herp Society symposium is coming up in the end of May in San Antonio. And I did want to make sure I mentioned it on the show.
All right.
Sponsors are providing a free, all-expense-paid trip for three different young herpers to come out to the symposium. Now, the symposium, it's different than a reptile show. It's different than a Tinley Park or Super Show. It's not a vendors-driven show. The symposium is for reptile nerds. It is for the real herpers. They want to get together and learn about the animals, talk about the animals, and just geek out about reptiles. There will be, typically there's some, you know, maybe live animals on display, but it's mostly you're coming to hear the talks, you're coming to socialize. It's always held somewhere where there's a pretty strong zoo. So IHS attendees also get backstage tour and exposure to the zoo and the exhibits. So we'll be going to the San Antonio Zoo. I will definitely be there. Chad, my partner Chad, should be out there.
Nice.
It's always a great turnout. You know, 100-plus people will be there. But IHS is offering a contest. It ends March 15th, so there's still plenty of time
to
enter.
Good.
There are three categories, the three age groups. Ages 12 to 15, 16 to 18, and 19 to 22. So it's not just about kids. You know, it's young adults as well. So anywhere from 12 to 22, there are going to be three winners that they will fly out and put up. Air flights, hotels, you get the banquet, you get the tour. All those expenses are paid, plus you get spending money while you're there. You can go to the IHS site. You can go to the Reptile Report. We have it posted up for the IHS Young Herper contest. And I'll send you the link so maybe you can put it up with the description on the show online so people can find the easy entry.
Sure.
You do have to do an essay contest. You know, it's basically talking about why you love reptiles. And then when you come out, they'll ask you to do a five-minute presentation on something reptile-related. Tell us about your favorite gecko species that you work with, your dream snake that you'd like to have, whether it's a viper, it's a boa, it's a gator, it's a lizard, whatever it is. Just tell us something, you know, present to the group about something that gets you excited about reptiles. But, yeah, there's going to be three winners, and for anybody underage, under 18, they'll fly the parents and pay the parents' expense as well.
That's great.
So
it's
not just for your young listeners, but it could be for your listeners that have kids that are into reptiles.
Sure.
Now all of a sudden, it's a trip for two out to San Antonio to go and check out the IHS. And IHS I've been for the last few years. It's a great show. It's always a great time. Fascinating speakers. You know, Tom Crutchfield comes out and shows a great slideshow and presentation about crocodile keeping over the years, or he'll talk about, you know, he'll show us pictures of the, you know, the first albino berm or the first albino retic that he's, you know, gotten out of Thailand or Indonesia. You know, he'll show us his adventures over there. Tel Hicks is, you know, did a presentation about their trip to the Amazon, and, you know, with all these amazing pictures and stuff. It's always... The presentations are always fascinating and interesting. A lot of zoo people there, a lot of institutional people there. Like I said, there's some really smart reptile folks there. And there's always a few, you know, young herper folks that come anyways, and it's always fascinating to see what they're interested in, the questions they ask, the discussions we have. You know, it's always a good time. It's like a 3-day trip, so it's a great opportunity for young herpers to be able to get the trip, enjoy the experience. But like I said, it's all expenses paid. I mean, it's a no miss situation. So I'll share the link with you. So hopefully you can post it up.
You know,
and like I said,
you can find it
at the Reptile Report.
Yeah, I'll put it up when I announce the show on the boards. I'll put it up on the boards too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see a bunch of folks enter, and I mean, it's going to be just a phenomenal trip for some young herpers. So I can't wait to see who comes out and enjoys the IHS this year.
Oh, that sounds great, man. I mean, it sounds like a local herp society show on steroids.
Yes, absolutely. That is absolutely what it is. But with world-class talks, world-class guests, you know, folks that you hear about and see online, you know, you can chat those folks up. We're, you know, we sit around, we socialize, we have great reptile discussions. It really is a good time.
Oh, it sounds great, man. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Here's a little hair raiser question for you, because I mean, I haven't asked you any questions because we've just been blathering on about this, you know, recent event.
Sorry about that.
And no, it's cool, and I think that's what people want to hear. But now, did you have any consternation in this year's contest? Like, was there anybody? Did you get any sour grapes or anything, or is that something you'd rather not talk about? We could just pass on it if you don't want to talk about it.
You know, I don't like to harp on it, but
okay.
I mean, it happens every year. It does happen, and it bums me out every year. You know, 99.9% of the feedback is positive and ecstatic.
Great.
The folks, you know, like I said, the small breeders and stuff, especially the small breeders, they get exposure, and their Facebook page is tripled in likes, or, you know, they have all these people inquiring about animals they work with. You know, from a marketing and business perspective, they get great benefit. They're so happy. And then there's, you know, there are also people that are just so pleased to be recognized. Like, you know, I'm out here busting my butt every day cleaning poop. And for somebody to say, hey, I see you, and I recognize you, and I think you're doing a great job, I mean, it just, you know, it makes some people's whole year, and I think that's fantastic.
Sure.
At the same time, something like the Reader's Choice is very subjective. It's voting. If you don't get nominated, you can't win. If you don't vote, you know, you can't win. And so sometimes a small breeder will win, and then people will have sour grapes and say, well, why didn't world-class superstar Jones win instead? You know why?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna throw Bob Clark under the bus, but Bob Clark's best python breeder in the world. Why didn't he win? Well, Bob didn't even get nominated. I don't know that Bob even knows the thing exists. But it's a reader's choice. It's up to the readers who they want to nominate, who they want to win. I think it's fantastic to see a smaller breeder like Crossbone Corns won the Colubrid Breeder of the Year. Fantastic. I'm ecstatic for them. J.B.'s Presties was a gecko breeder of the year. You know, Ron Tremper is a fantastic breeder, but Ron Tremper doesn't have to win every year. He knows he's fucking awesome. So it's okay that smaller folks. Last year, BHB won 9 awards. They slaughtered it.
Yeah.
Video show, radio show, images, python breeder. They just killed it because they have a huge audience. This year, Brian said, you know what, I do want to win video show for Snake Bites TV, but I don't even want to make effort or promote any of the other categories that we might be nominated in, because I want to see other people get recognition. I think that'd be great. I love it to see other people working hard get recognition. And I thought, you know what, Brian, I can't fault that one bit, because I totally understand. You want the light to shine on other people working hard. I think that's admirable. So fantastic. So he gets it. He wants other small companies and small breeders to get the recognition. So, you know, sometimes when people say, oh, you know, well, why didn't, you know, Nerd win every category? Nerd doesn't have to win every category. Let Kevin do his thing.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin's going to be Kevin. But if it shines light on somebody you've never heard of, number one, don't hate on the person. Don't say you're not worth it. You know, take a step back, look at it through a different lens, say, hey, that's awesome that you got the recognition. What do you do? What do you work with? Let me check out your page. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Those are some amazing-looking animals. I'm glad you're on my radar now. So,
cool, man.
You know,
we got like 1 minute.
I try not to let it get
up,
me down.
Right,
but okay,
just
you know, like
you
said, we've blathered on and on and on, but I appreciate you giving me a chance to.
Oh, don't worry about it, man. It was a pleasure having you. You know, and in what you were talking about, I'm just going to say one thing. My buddy, PJ Cohn, took Binder Park Zoo out of absolute obscurity, and they won the Reader's Choice Wazoo of the Year.
They won.
You know, because he put in the effort. He made, you know, he made people know about it. So, look, anybody
can
do that.
About.
Hopefully they're doing that next year, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do want to take a quick second and thank. We do have sponsors for the Best of Awards. They made it all possible. The Gourmet Rodent and Rodent Pro have been super supportive. They're so easy to work with. I really appreciate them making it possible. It does cost an amazing amount of time and money to even put these things on. So thanks to
awesome.
Those guys for making it work.
Hats off, man.
And thanks
hey,
for having
have
me
a great
on,
week.
Dude.
Pleasure.